Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Chenjerai Komanyika. He's an assistant professor of communication studies at Clemson University. Hi, Chenjerai.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us. President Obama heads to New Orleans today to mark the 10th anniversary of the devastating Hurricane Katrina. During his stop, he plans to speak at a newly built recreation center in the city's lower Ninth Ward. Nearly 2,000 mostly African-American people were killed when New Orleans flooded after the hurricane hit in 2005. The Bush administration came under global criticism for its mishandling of the disaster and what many characterized as a racist response. Obama will also address those failures today, saying what started out as a natural disaster became a man-made one, a failure of government to look out for its own citizens. But the president also plans to laud the recovery, addressing the city's residents, quote, "You are an example of what's possible when in the face of tragedy and hardship, good people come together to lend a hand and to build a better future. This is a city that slowly, unmistakably together is moving forward," end of quote. A new poll by Louisiana State University found that most white residents of the city felt that they had recovered, while most blacks felt that they had not. Well, Chenjerai, what do you make of the president's plans to say what he's going to say today?
Well, I got to say, you know, I disagree with his analysis. Katrina was a man-made disaster, and it wasn't a natural disaster that became a man-made disaster. The economic violence and lack of investment in public goods was a disaster well before Katrina, and Katrina simply exposed those priorities. A report by Allison Plyler of Data Research sheds light about the so-called recovery of Katrina, supporting the feelings of many of the Black Katrina residents. What we see is that the poverty rate in Metro New Orleans declined from 18% in 1999 to 15% in 2007, but then increased to 19% in 2013, such that it is now unchanged. The same is true of the child poverty rate. So I think Obama will try to offer a hopeful message that honors survivors of these disasters. But, you know, I think he has to be honest about what's really going on.
The New York Times yesterday reported anonymous military sources of an internal investigation in the Pentagon over allegations that intelligence related to the ISIS war might be deliberately skewed. According to the Times, quote, at least one civilian defense intelligence agency analyst told authorities that he had evidence that officials at U.S. Central Command were improperly reworking the conclusions of intelligence assessments prepared for policymakers, including President Obama, end of quote. The Daily Beast corroborated the reports with statements from their own anonymous sources within the military and intelligence community. According to the Daily Beast sources, quote, assessments on ISIS should comport with the leadership consensus, that is, top policymakers' view that the U.S.-led campaign against ISIS is paying dividends. Chenjerai, this sounds so much like President Bush and the Iraq War. If it's true, what are the implications that the intelligence books are being cooked on the ISIS war?
Well, we don't know specifically who within United States Central Command is responsible, but we do know that Army General Martin Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, has been notably less optimistic about developments in the war against ISIS than senior members of the Obama administration have been, signaling that maybe these members of the Obama administration are working in concert with the United States Central Command. We also know that there's a history of tension between the essential analytic dissent that's required for critical thinking about military strategies and, you know, basically what's going on in terms of who's leading operations in the field, you know. So, you know, I don't know. I think the defense secretary said, I'm confident we will succeed in defeating ISIL and we have the right strategy, but we need to be deeply skeptical of that, particularly the emphasis on military tactics as the way to solve these problems.
And finally, a Swedish ship participated in yet another rescue effort in the Mediterranean Sea this week. The Italian Coast Guard was also involved in the operation, which found 3,000 migrants packed onto boats fleeing war and poverty from Africa and the Middle East. At least 55 bodies were found on the boats. Added to the death toll over the entire year, more than 2,000 people have died in the Mediterranean trying to escape desperate circumstances. European countries are struggling to come up with a solution to the mass migration crisis. Of course, European policies, hand in hand with U.S. policies, have contributed directly to the violence of war and poverty that is pushing people out of their countries. Most migrants hail from war-torn Syria, Libya, and Eritrea. Well, Chenjerai, at least this time it was 3,000 people rescued instead of dead, 55 dead, however. And rescuing is also just step one. Do you have any optimism that Europe can come up with a humane immigration response to this migration?
Well, Francois Crapeau, one of the officials in the United Nations who deals with the human rights of migrants, has suggested that A more effective response would be to charter buses to transport people to nearby shelters, register newcomers, and essentially devise a system to more equally distribute the burden of resettlement across European countries, because currently southern and eastern states, including Greece, Italy, Spain, and Hungary, are bearing most of the burden. An even more disturbing development is that many countries, European countries, are now trying to turn the refugee crisis into a law enforcement issue. We know that yesterday, Hungary and also we've seen Macedonian police fire stun grenades and tear gas at refugees. So this is really a disturbing development, and I think we need to go more with trying to, you know, trying to sort of distribute this burden more equally across European countries.
Chandra, I want to thank you, as always, for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Chenjerai Kumanyika is an assistant professor of communication studies at Clemson University. This is Uprising. You can find us online at uprisingwithsonali.com. All of our stories are posted there. If you miss anything, you can just check out that website. By the way, we're also at YouTube. That is youtube.com/uprisingwithsonali.